Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
The Fan is better when you're part of it. Call The Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Back on The Fan. So we started the show talking about the Jets and their moves. Mecole Hardman, Eli Moore gets traded. The Jets get another pick that they can maybe use in the Aaron Rodgers deal. And then, of course, the report comes out that the interest in Odell Beckham Jr. from Joe Douglas and the Jets is, quote, real. That according to SNY.TV. The Knicks had another tough loss in Miami last night. And you know, they played okay offensively, didn't do enough, and defensively they were just not very good at all. And Miami showed you that they could be a dangerous team as well. Knicks here down the stretch now, you know, I don't want to say struggling to the finish line, but, you know, clearly you get to see the Knicks play some better basketball to feel better about them going into the postseason, which, you know, just getting there is going to be a great accomplishment for this Knicks team. They right now are the fifth seed. The Nets have not been much better. The Nets have lost four straight, so they're going in the wrong direction. Luckily for them, for the Knicks, the Nets are going in the wrong direction. Otherwise, the Knicks would be on that verge of the sixth spot right now. But they are up two games, and you know the Knicks are not going to be able to catch Cleveland. They're looking at basically being locked in at that five spot and facing the Cavs in the first round. Barring something crazy with Brooklyn catching the Knicks. And basically, even if that is the case, the Knicks are going to be five or six. That's it. And that means it's going to be the Cavs most likely in the first round. Or if something goes really haywire, it goes wrong, the Knicks will be taking on the 76ers. So, man, it's crazy how we are on the verge now of the postseason for both the basket, for, you know, the Knicks and the Nets with the basketball around here. And then the locals with hockey. Right behind that, I mean, you got how many games left for the Knicks? 10, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, oh, 8. 8 games left. That's right. They played, you know, they lost to Minnesota. They've lost these two in a row here. So just 8 games left, and that's that. You got opening day coming up a week from today with the Mets and Yanks, and then a couple weeks, NBA playoffs, followed by the NHL playoffs. It is going to get crazy around here, and I'm here for it. 877-337-6666. Jack is calling from Brooklyn. What's on your mind this morning, Jack?
Hey, what's up, Ty? How you doing?
Good, Jack. How are you?
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up 2 points. One of them is about the Jets, and one of them about the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
The one about the Jets is, why would you want to go after Aaron Rodgers when you have Lamar Jackson sitting right there, right in front of you? All you got to do is pay up, and you get him.
Yeah, I mean, I think I think I'd rather have Rodgers right now. I think he's a better fit for what the Jets are trying to do. Look, I get the argument if you want to go with Lamar Jackson. For me, that would be the second choice. I just feel like where the Jets are right now, Aaron Rodgers is a no doubt about it Hall of Fame quarterback. He steps right in. He's going to improve the Jets tremendously. Not that Jackson couldn't do that, but I have some reservations about Jackson still.
Yeah, but right now, Jackson's a better player.
I don't think he is. I'd rather have, I think Rodgers is a better quarterback right now.
I have to disagree about it, but I want to bring up my other point. You're a big Mets fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so as a Mets fan, how scared of you are of the Phillies?
Scared of the Phillies? Not at all. I mean, do I think the Phillies are good? Yeah. I mean, what do you mean?
I think besides their pitching, and that could be like a toss-up, I think the Phillies are better all across the board. You watch the WBC, you saw the Mets players, you saw the Phillies players.
No,
it's time to shine. They shine bright.
I'm not putting any stock in the WBC, but I'll tell you that in the postseason last year, you saw what Philadelphia could do, and I think the Phillies lineup is absolutely loaded.
Yeah, and that's what, right now they're going to start the season without Bryce Harper, and I don't even think they're going to have any break or anything like that. I think it's going to still sail smoothly.
I mean, maybe, but would the Phillies win last year? How many they finished? How many games behind the Mets and Braves? 14 games or something like that behind the Mets and Braves?
That didn't even matter because the Mets were a regular season team. The whole year they were top of the division, and then you know what happened at the end, right?
Yeah, no, I know. So I don't understand what your point is. Are you a Phillies fan that's trying to talk trash?
No, I'm not a Phillies fan. I'm a Mets fan.
So, okay, so then what is your point exactly?
I just think I'd be worried, especially with the Edwin Diaz injury, which didn't make any sense. It never should have happened. I mean, I celebrate all the time, and, you know, my leg's okay. Like, that's how fluky it was.
Well, we'll move on from that call. I mean, there you go. That's probably a call that's trying to bait me into yelling at him so he could hear himself on social media as I call him an idiot. You're a Mets fan, and you're worried about the Phillies? You realize this is New York, right? I mean, we do a New York show. Why are you talking about the Phillies? By the way, the Phillies are loaded. Phillies lineup is better than the Mets. Nobody's going to dispute that. But worried about them? No. I'd be more worried about the Mets than I would be even the Braves or the Phillies. If the Mets do their job, what they're supposed to do, they should be the best team. They have the best pitching, right? And they have a deep team. I do have issues or concerns, though, with the Mets. The Phillies? No, not worried about the Phillies. E. Frank calling from Astoria. What's up, E. Frank?
Yes, what's up, Sal? It's nice hearing you on the radio this evening. You know, I got to tell you, Robert Sala has a gigantic headache now with all these changes. I wish him very well. And I want to say another thing. Zach Wilson is, you told me I talk too much about the man. You know, I made a promise.
Well, because he's irrelevant now.
Well, I made a promise to Teresa, his sister, the one that's my age, years ago when I was explaining to her something about Jim McMahon and William the Refrigerator Perry during that Chicago Bears Super
Bowl. Whose sister?
That, you know, that...
Hold on. Whose sister are you talking about here?
Zach Wilson's.
Okay, so you like the quarterback of the Jets' sister?
Yes.
Okay, you know her.
Yeah, we're very good personal friends.
Okay.
And I told her years ago during the Chicago Bears Super Bowl that, you know, that William the Refrigerator Perry and Jim McMahon were going to be a nemesis for her brother in the future. She says, oh, well, I don't care, you know, it's going to be hard stuff. And look, it is hard stuff because now Aaron Rodgers is going to be taking over the realm. He's sidelined. And I want to ask you, Sal, what is the big deal here? Why aren't they signing the technicality with Aaron Rodgers? If he's a Hall of Fame quarterback, he's ready to go, he wants to come to New York. You know, why are they having so many problems with
that? They're trying to complete the trade. They have to come to an agreement on what the compensation is going to be for the Jets to give up to get Aaron Rodgers from the Packers.
But I want to know why they're having problems with Woody Johnson with the Green Bay man.
The Packers are hold on. Let's try this again. The Packers are trying to hold the Jets up here. They want more in return for Aaron Rodgers. The Jets are unwilling to meet their demands right now. That's the problem. That's it. What I don't understand what you're getting at or what you don't understand about this.
No, I got it straight now. But I feel that they want too much up there in Wisconsin.
Maybe. And maybe the Jets feel the same, which is why a deal hasn't been done yet. But it's going to happen.
I wish Aaron Rodgers well. I hope he does commercials like Joe Namath did here for Brute and for Forever J.
I'm confused. Is E. Frank, is this now, Fleegs, is that a prank call? Is E. Frank all these years who I thought was...
No. What I always say about E. Frank, and I wish we never found out how William Refrigerator Perry tied into that, did we?
Dude, he was saying, I'm trying to do the math, like, Zach Wilson's sister, how old
right, the,
could she
the
be?
Last time the Bears were in the Super Bowl was 2006,
right.
So 16 years ago.
And
Zach Wilson
before,
was seven,
and he's
six?
He's referencing Refrigerator Perry and Jim McMahon.
Right, and that Bears Super Bowl, Zach Wilson wasn't even a thought.
Right.
EJ and I weren't thought, like, that's a long time ago.
Right.
You know, I always say about E. Frank, I want to know what it's like on the planet he lives on, because it sure is not Earth.
I thought for sure that E. Frank was a normal caller. I mean, not like normal, but whatever, a regular caller. But after
years ago,
that,
it wasn't like this.
I think he's I thought he was pranking right there. Even at the end, what is he talking about with the Joe Namath commercials? What the hell is he? What's the point?
I think he's just a little maybe gotten more scattered over the years.
Goodness. Yeah, that was a rough one, E. Frank. Look, if you've noticed, you guys probably have, I'm keeping my composure tonight. No more throwing headphones, no more yelling and screaming. I mean, I'm not saying ever. I'm just saying right now it's not happening. You're not going to get me to do it. You can poke the bear. The bear's not going to bite back. Today I'll just hang up and move on. 877-337-6666. Dave is in Brooklyn. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Cal. How are you doing tonight?
Good, Dave. How are you?
I hope I won't be about like the last two callers, but I'm doing great.
No, okay. Good to hear.
Listen, my point about the Jets is that I didn't hear anyone say so far is that with the offense going to be led by Aaron Rodgers, which I believe will get done, is that the Jets' defense last year, the one of their best part was their corners and their pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
If the Jets go up 14-0 with such an offense, try to pass against such a defense. I think their defense can get so much better because of their offense. Nobody was talking about this, how the best part of the defense was their corner last year. They have DJ Reed and Thorpe, and you're going to have to go up against that in a passing game with A-Rod. Man,
good point. Good point. And not only that, Dave, I like your point about the offense because it's being upgraded significantly. That is, not only if they get up in a game and force teams to throw the football, which plays to the Jets' strength as a defense, but also, how about the time on the field? I mean, think about the drives, or lack thereof, that the Jets had a year ago to where now, you know, remember, the Jets were better when they were running the football with Breece Hall when he was healthy and Vera Tucker when he was there on the line. So if the Jets can move the football consistently, drive the football, score some more points, yeah, their defense will be better because of that for multiple reasons.
100%. I don't think that Jets fans really comprehend what we're getting in Aaron Rodgers. I watched Aaron Rodgers highlight, but I'm like, I know we're getting someone great. You watch some of the throws he makes, and like, I didn't even know quarterbacks do that. I didn't know that. I'm a Jets fan. I didn't even know that quarterbacks can make such throws. I mean, I'm used to people throwing balls into the ground and they're trying to throw a screen pass, and here Aaron Rodgers running from left to his left, throwing 40-yard bombs on the money. I'm like, people could do that?
Yeah.
Am I watching like a science fiction, or is this the NFL?
Right. You're actually going to get to watch, not, you know, it's funny, Dave, and thank you for the call. Not only are you going to get to watch a real NFL quarterback, you're going from worst to first. You're going to see a Hall of Fame, legendary, arguably, maybe not even arguably, one of the most physically gifted quarterbacks the sport has ever seen. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, I said this before Mahomes, I think Rodgers was the most talented quarterback that I've ever seen. There are different categories that I would put the best quarterbacks that I've seen in. One would be the greatest winner slash competitor. That's obviously Brady. Two, the best pure quarterback, seeing the defense, calling the plays, making the right reads, just playing the position, pure pass or pocket passing quarterback. That's Peyton Manning. Three would be the best overall, and I think that's Aaron Rodgers, where he's got the quickness, the mobility, the pinpoint accuracy, the strength, the decision-making, escapability. Like, Rodgers in his prime, I've never seen a quarterback more physically gifted than him. Now, you want to talk about great running quarterbacks? Obviously, Lamar Jackson is the best running quarterback that I've ever seen. I know he could do more than just run, but that is his strength. He's the best running quarterback the sport has seen. I mean, Vic was great, too. Jackson's better. And then you put Mahomes, who's just, I mean, he may be better than everyone. But Rodgers is that level. And he may not be at that level right now, but he's still close enough. And compared to what you've seen as a Jet fan in your unfortunate history watching quarterback play, this is going to be just something beautiful. You're right. You're not even going to believe what your eyes are seeing. And I do think Rodgers is the best fit. While Lamar Jackson would be exciting and make any team that he goes to better, I just, my gut feel is that Rodgers is the best fit right now. There's no questions, no issues. You know, Lamar Jackson, while he's a great player, there are still limitations to his game, whether you want to make the excuse of not having enough weapons around him, him not being allowed to throw the football as much in that offense for years, whatever it may be. I haven't seen enough to have a no-doubt feel about him throwing the football. On top of that, he's hurt. He's often hurt. And for a guy that plays the style that he does, it is unfortunately more conducive to getting hurt. Yet again, he plays the game like a running back. He's a great football player. But by putting yourself in harm's way, running the football the majority of the time, the way that he does, he's going to risk further injury. And the more wear and tear on that body, the quicker the decline comes. I hope Lamar gets a guaranteed contract for a boatload of cash. And I hope he has a ton of success. I like Lamar. I just don't think the Jets are the right fit, especially because Aaron Rodgers is an option.
Manning takes a knee and the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Here. Oh, little Superbook. Hold on. Hold on one second. Let me separate this from the... There we go. Turn it up, BJ. All right. You don't need to find a pot of gold to strike it rich this March. Instead, win money on your tournament wagers with Superbook Sports. Superbook features the best team of odds makers in the business, so they're the safe bet when it comes to sports gambling. You have a direct line to their experienced staff behind the counter in Las Vegas. They also have one of the most extensive betting menus around. So no matter what you want to wager on come tournament time, Superbook is sure to have it. Download the Superbook app and start winning today. Visit Superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports talk problem? Call 1-800. No. What is the number here again? 877-337-6666 is the number to call. We've talked really a little bit of everything. We'll continue to do so throughout the course of the show. Started with the Jets. It's been a lot of the Jets. A little Odell, Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson. Knicks, again, as we mentioned, didn't play any defense last night. Bad loss in Miami. Their second straight loss. 8 games to go, as you want to see the Knicks playing well heading in to the postseason, which should be a likely matchup with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Yanks have some issues this spring as we are 1 week away from opening day. You know, Yanks still don't have their starting shortstop. Yanks center fielder banged up. No left fielder. Starting rotation has taken some hits. So the Yanks have some question marks here. Yeah, I think they'll be fine, obviously, throughout the course of the season. Long season. But right now, going in to opening day, can't be feeling great about all that's happened here with the Yankees. As for the Mets, they just sent down Francisco Alvarez to the minor leagues yesterday, back to AAA. And, you know, no surprise. It was bound to happen. And these guys are not going to be able to come up until their games are complete. No holes. They're ready to, you know, take that next step without any reservations. That's when you're going to see Beatty, Alvarez. And by the way, Beatty, I mean, I don't think he's going to make the team, but there is at least an outside shot. That's how good he's been, where he has improved his defense, even as recently as just a couple of weeks ago or a week ago, where something just clicked for him. And he's now looking like a third baseman that might be ready to play some defense in the major leagues. wouldn't expect him to be on the roster. And we got to see how it shakes out with the numbers as far as injuries go. You know, is Nimmo going to be on the roster? Not that that would mean that Beatty's going to take that spot necessarily. But I think there's an outside shot, a very small outside shot. And, you know, is Vientos going to be on the team in the event that Ruff is hurt? If you have both Nimmo and Ruff hurt, could Beatty sneak on then, or is it just going to be LoCastro and Vientos? I don't know. We'll find out. But that's basically what we're looking at here with the Mets. As unfortunately, you know, we talk about the Yankees being banged up a little bit here. Unfortunately for the Mets, their issue is that they lost their closer for the entire season in Edwin Diaz when he went down at the WBC. Other than that, it's just about getting ready for the season with their big horses atop that rotation with Scherzer and Verlander, seeing what Kodai Senga is going to be able to bring to the table this year. You know, or are they going to have an upgrade at the catching spot with Omar Narvaez being the main guy now, replacing James McCann? Him and Nito will be that combination. And keeping guys healthy, getting Nimmo healthy, keeping Alonso and Lindor healthy, Marte, McNeil, seeing if the Mets can rebound from blowing the division a year ago and getting ousted in that wild card round. 877-337-6666. Richie's calling from Queens. Good morning, Richie.
Seth, how you been? Nice talking to you.
Good, Richie. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. A couple of things before I get to the main point with my Giants playing the Yankees. You know, Rogers absolutely, I go back 30 years more than you.
Mm-hmm.
He's up there as great a quarterback as there ever been. My issue with him is that the last 5 or 6 years, he's not been a finisher. He doesn't close games. The last 3 years, I thought, were abomination when he lost to Tampa. That game up at the half, the game against the Niners, losing the Detroit game. So to think that he's going to come and he's going to be, after not being in the Super Bowl for 11 years, and to get them to the Super Bowl or bust, when you got Burrows and you got Mahomes and you got Allen, I think it's asking a lot. I think the defense, yeah, is on the upswing, and they definitely are going to be much improved with him.
No, but they're in the conversation. That's it. Like, nobody's going to, or at least I'm not, predicting that the Jets are going to go to or win a Super Bowl right away. But they're in the conversation. And I think that that's more than you could ask if you're a Jet fan, to have them go from the worst quarterback play in the league to now having a Hall of Fame quarterback that puts them in the conversation as a team that has a shot to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and also it could be a major plus to Zach Wilson to learn behind this guy. So down the road,
you got a guy
that's really good currently, and you got somebody that maybe come around in a couple of years. You know, you mentioned the Knicks. I think it's going to come down to the Miami game, Sal, next week. It's a 2-game swing, because if they do tie for the fifth seed, it goes to Miami. They have the tiebreaker. I'd love to see them, you know, hold on to the fifth. You know, with the Yankees.
Wait, what do you mean now? Say that again. If they win that game, then they have whoever wins that game has the tiebreaker?
No, I'm saying if it winds up as a tie for the fifth seed between Miami and the Knicks.
Right now, Miami is 40-34. The Knicks are 42-32. So they have a 2-game lead over Miami.
Yeah, but I think it's going to come down to that game. I know
right,
there's
but what's
eight
the
games
series? What's the season series right now? It's 2-1 Knicks. Thank you, EJ. 2-1 Knicks right now.
Yeah.
So if the Knicks win 2-1. That, then they get the tiebreaker, right?
Yeah, so that would be the difference. And so, you know, I'm really looking forward. I'm a big San Francisco Giants fan. And it's incredible that the Giants are opening up against the Yankees. I mean, I remember seeing the 62 series with the Yankees, Bobby Richardson making the catch. You know, everybody knows that play.
Sure.
They haven't played that much. They haven't played that, you know, much through the years. But now with this 13-game schedule within the division and everybody playing and you're seeing all these different teams, it's going to be really, really great. And, you know, initially I thought what's going to take away the head-to-head competition, you know, especially when you're fighting for your division. But you just got to win whatever comes your way. Whatever games they give you, you got to win. So, but I'm really excited. Sal, do you ever hear anything about that last 1-0 game other than the Richardson play?
No, I'm not familiar with it.
Okay, real quick, Sal. 1-0, game 7. Ralph Terry, Jack Van Sanford, both pitches are in. Both threw over 140 pitches. Second and third, 2 out. McCovey's up. Terry's a right-hander for the Yankees. They said there's no, and McCovey was hitting 400. The on-deck hitter was Orlando Cepeda, who was hitting 200. Never even a doubt to bring somebody in lefty on lefty, but to think how baseball, as far as pitching, you know, two guys going 140 pitches.
Yeah, I mean, that would never, you'd be fired. And thank you for the call, Richie. And I do think it's exciting when you get that type of matchup with the Giants and the Yankees, who obviously don't play very often. That's why I love the new schedule now, where you have a balanced schedule where you're playing at least every team, or you're playing every team at least once. You're not going to be able to have a home-and-home with everybody, but the fact that you're playing every team, that's the way the baseball had to go, with the interleague play being a regular thing, with the DH now being universal. This, to me, is much more exciting than watching the Yankees play the Blue Jays or the Yankees play the Orioles 19 times, or the Mets play the Nationals or the Mets play the Marlins 19 times. No, thank you. I'd rather see new teams. I think that keeps it fresh. That, to me, is making the Major League Baseball regular season more entertaining. But, yeah, I mean, going back to those days, 140 pitches for a pitcher. Get the hell out of here. I mean, that would never happen now. Shalom is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Shalom?
Yeah, how's it going, Sal?
Great. How are you?
Yeah, what did you mean when you said that earlier?
What?
About him, you know? You know, when you said about him earlier about the player from the Jets.
Which player are we talking about?
You know, the player with the jersey.
Huh? I don't know what you're
saying. The player from New Jersey. Rogers.
Yeah, what about him?
So what did you mean when you said earlier that he's going to play, but he's not? You're not sure if you want him?
I didn't say that. I don't know what you're talking about. You got to get your facts straight.
I don't know. What are you talking about? I'm talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, well then talk about Aaron Rodgers. So we established now who you're talking about. You have to call me to ask me who you're talking about, which I don't understand. So you're talking about Aaron Rodgers, right?
Are we clear? Calm down. I'm fine, Sal. Now everything's good. I just wanted to know if you like him.
Yes, I do.
Okay, that's all.
Oh my God. Charlie is calling from Rick, New Jersey. Charlie?
Yeah. Sal, how's it going? Good. Hanging in there with these callers tonight?
Not really. But counting down the minutes here, honestly. Of not only the shift, but my career potentially. You know, I'll tell you, the best thing about TV, I don't have to take any calls on TV, if you noticed. I work with a nice panel. We have fun together. It's really, it's great.
Yeah, man. Late nights are rough someday.
What's on your mind, well, Charlie?
I've been counting down the time to talk to you because I recently moved out to Westchester, Pennsylvania. So I'm in the middle of Eagles country, and I'm a diehard Giants and Yankees fan, so just to come in and talk New York sports for a few is a big relief to me. My question is around the Giants. I'm very excited we finally have the right coach and seemingly the right front office. So in addition to wondering what you think about the potential for Daniel Jones over the next couple of years, which I'm very excited about, I did not get your take. I don't know where you stand on where you think the Giants will land this year on a contract with Saquon. Do you believe he's going to play under the franchise tag?
Good question. I know that both sides would like to have a resolution, and I like to believe that Joe Shane is smart enough to be able to figure it out. It's nice to have the franchise tag as a fallback. He's not going anywhere, so that's the most important thing, at least for this year. But you also want to have the player happy, and I think Saquon will be happier with a longer-term commitment. So if they could figure it out, I think they will. But I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the case. Clearly, I think both sides would like that, though, which gives you at least hope. I'll tell you, though, you have to, Charlie, love what the Giants have done this offseason so far, bringing in players. They're going to be, I mean, the Giants right now have done a lot more in free agency than I thought they were going to be capable of doing this year.
I am very excited. I'm also very, I'm aware that the teams that win the offseason frequently are not, I mean, you know, maybe go back to what the Rams did bringing in Stafford. Like, they really changed their whole trajectory. But you look at the Giants, I like not knowing a lot of the players are bringing in and not going out and signing big-time talent. Like, they've got to build through the draft, and mm-hmm. you can do that, especially getting younger and better at wide receiver. If you're going to bring somebody in, you know, I would love to see OBJ again, but honestly, I think his best days are behind him, and you're just going to overpay. Get, you know, just keep bringing in quality, not necessarily the biggest names and the highest price tag, and keep building through the draft. But I'm really excited at what they may do and what Daniel Jones can do, because I honestly do. I believe they saw in him a franchise quarterback, and I believe they have the right coaching in place to develop and actually bring that to fruition. So I'm really excited at what he's going to do, because, I mean, let's be honest. What he did last year with the receivers that he had, I think it can only get better and much better. And so give him another couple of years under these systems. I think I'm very high on where he's going to take them in the future.
Yeah, I can't say I'm as high, Charlie, and thank you for the call, but I am excited to see now a Giants team, and I know the results of last year were great, but the expectations going in were not very high, and they exceeded all expectations. They played solid football for the most part all year long. Now there are going to be expectations. Now they've brought in some more players. They've given Daniel Jones some weapons here. And you would expect it's going to continue to grow through the draft, to your point. So now I'm excited to see what the Giants can do to take that next step as a team. Now, you have to understand that the results may not be there. Right? The results may vary. They may be, in other words, the Giants may be a better team than they were last year, but they may not go as far. Maybe they get beat in the wild card round. I mean, whatever. Maybe they end up in the same spot and lose again in the divisional round. But I do believe they're going to be a better team. And I'm really excited to see, because, you know, we've been talking about it forever here with Daniel Jones and the lack of quality weapons around him, or the lack of a good line play in front of him, whatever the excuse has been. Over the years, there's been plenty of them. I'm excited to see a more loaded team on paper with Daniel Jones. And you get the feel by the moves the Giants have made here in free agency, they're going to be better. These were solid moves that should improve this team. And we've only just begun here. So, yeah, I'm excited to see. There's an unknown. See, there's a difference between saying, oh, I don't think Daniel Jones is ever going to be a great quarterback, or saying Daniel Jones is going to be a great quarterback. There's a difference between those two things and what we've seen. So far, we've seen some potential, we've seen some bad football, and we've seen some really good football. But he hasn't done it yet. Now, we're going to have an opportunity to finally see, okay, now we know what you could do under this new coaching staff. Now you've had some success. Now you've gotten paid. Now let's see you take it to another level. That opportunity is going to be there in front of him.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh, my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Let them have it. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Fan, 877-337-6666. Going on 5 a.m. the warm-up show with Al and Jerry. Been talking a lot of Jets so far this morning. Steve in Lake Grove wants to continue that conversation. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking the call. Love the show.
Thank you. Thanks for making it. What's on your mind?
Well, first, I got to say, I actually had reservations about calling in because I didn't want to take a spot from one of these outball callers, which are just immensely entertaining. And I can, you know, feel your angst and, you know, taking some of those calls. It's very entertaining.
It's not, well, I mean, I appreciate that. It's not all the time, Steve, but boy, sometimes there are some special ones.
Oh, it's the best. It's the best. But you do a great job. Real quick, I didn't want to jump around, but Carmelo Anthony, first ballot Hall of Famer?
I think
yes.
Well, remember, it's the Basketball Hall of Fame, right? So you factor in what he did in college as well. Yeah, I guess so. I don't know if I get caught up, me personally, in the Basketball Hall of Fame the way that I would Baseball Hall of Fame. And even that now, as you know, has been destroyed. But Carmelo was a great player. I never loved him. I never thought he was a great Knick.
Yeah, no, you're right. He had a couple moments, but he didn't deliver for us.
So what is your, let me ask you, what's the point of it? Are you into the Basketball Hall of Fame? Are you looking at it from a Knicks perspective?
So I'm a Syracuse fan and a Knicks fan, unfortunately. You know, all my teams actually suck. I haven't seen any any championship in my life, but yeah, I've had some debates with some of my other Knick friends who don't think he's getting in first ballot, and I think the Syracuse puts it over the top.
I think he does get in. There's a difference between what I would value him as, or will he? I do believe Melo will be a first ballot NBA Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I mean his scoring acumen, he could get buckets whenever he wanted.
Correct. Now, that, like, would you ask me, you know, would I ever consider putting his jersey to the rafters at the Garden? No freaking way. I mean, I don't even think he was as good. I know he was a skilled player, but he was just not an important Knick. Not at all.
Well, like, that run that Amari had when he, when he was healthy, you know, he never did that.
I mean, they had the one year where they won 54 games or whatever it was, and they ended up losing to the Pacers in the second round anyway, which was, I thought that they did not max out. They should have beaten the Pacers that year, then lost to Miami. But
exactly.
Think of any of the Knicks on the 90s teams, whether it is Oakley, Starks, Allen Houston, Sprewell, all those, Larry Johnson, those guys, Kurt Thomas, those guys to me were more important Knicks than, you could throw in Charlie Ward if you want, or Chris Childs. I mean, geez, those guys won playoff series regularly. They were more important Knicks to me than even Carmelo Anthony, who was the individual star. I put Melo in the same category as I do Marbury.
Yeah. And Charlie Ward, by the way, best quarterback in New York at that time.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
but so this year, I don't think they're going anywhere. I know other people are a little wide-eyed and think they got a shot, but I don't see it. I think Randall gets shut down. They're going to double-team him, and I think it's a first-round exit.
Well, that's the problem. If they can't win a first-round series this year, that will ruin the season. I mean, that will be an extremely disappointing end yet again to, in what was by many accounts, if not all accounts, a very successful regular season. They have to win the first round.
Exactly. And if they do, I think it's going to be on the back of Brunson.
Well, he's a star. I mean, Brunson is a star. Now, because you're saying they're going to shut down Randall, so Brunson's going to have to carry the team. I agree with you. I do think Brunson's going to have to be the guy, and he has been the guy the majority of the year. I know Randall's been great. Brunson's their best player.
I couldn't agree more. So, one quick local question, because I live just north of you. I don't know where you are in Ronkonkoma, but there's this bar, Parsnips.
Yeah.
You familiar with it?
Yes.
So I'm literally just north of that. I live off Hudson, which is literally runs right into Parsnips. This place is packed almost every Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's unbelievable. Cars all over the street.
I am familiar with it. Now, I have not been there, and thank you for the call, Steve. Appreciate you checking in. So Marco, you'll get a kick out of this story. There's this bar that he just referenced, Parsnip, that is a It's a bar in Ronkonkoma that had a, oh God, how do I say this on the air without getting fired? Let's be careful here. But it had a, there was a saying that went along with the bar where it would say the beers are cold and a certain genre of people that went there were old.
Okay.
All right. So that's just like the saying. If you're from Long Island, or I guess, or if you know about that bar, whatever, not a big deal.
Okay.
So when I was rooming with Giannotti in, we lived in Astoria many years ago. This is now 2005 or six. We started talking about being from Long Island or whatever. And neither of us knew much about each other or whatever, where we grew up from. And then I forget how exactly it came up, but he, one of us mentioned like, oh, you mean like parsnips? And then he goes, yeah, where the beers are cold. And then I finished the saying. And it was like our, oh my God, did we just become best friends moment? So anyway, this bar is like such a dive bar. I drive past it occasionally. It's awful. And then Nicole was just referencing it, saying that it's jam-packed. But I don't know. It was one of those, I'll never again associate that bar without thinking of that moment with Giannotti.
See, now I got questions, though, just the idea of, and I'm going to leave the bar stuff alone, but you and Giannotti were living together in Astoria while you were working here at the Fan. You barely knew each other?
Correct. Well, I mean, we didn't, yeah. I mean, I didn't know him from growing up on Long Island. I knew him from where we started working at the Fan.
How long before you guys were roommates?
I would guess it was about a year. He was, I think Gio started interning in 2005, and we got the apartment together in, I believe, 2006, if my timeline
is correct.
Just
the two of
you? No, guys were not the only, that's what I was going to say, they weren't the only two, and Gio has told the story about the bar on the morning show before.
Oh, did he use the...
So I found out my talk back in this chair does not work to you.
Oh, okay.
Gio has told the story.
The full saying of... I mean, it's not bad. I just don't want to...
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he could say that.
I'm still... I don't know if I would, but he has told
the... I'm not saying it. But it's not bad. You could do the math and say it. But it was just a funny thing to where... And I remember his eyes lighting up like, oh my God. And like...
So your stepbrother's moment. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like we just knew of that.
Did we just become best friends?
Yeah. Exactly. I went there one time in my life with my uncle. I don't even know why I went. It was just like, whatever. Anyway, so what were you talking about?
So it's just the two of you? And this,
no, we lived with another person.
Okay, so three people in the apartment. All right. And one person that doesn't actually work here. Okay.
Well, that did work here, but does no longer work here.
Once worked where I am standing right now, Marco.
Okay.
A long time. But this was a long time
ago. All right, long time ago. Okay. I'm just trying to get the picture of the story because you guys intern at the Fan. All of a sudden, you're living together in Queens. Like, it just seems like it's a...
This means Marco doesn't know about the streaking story if he doesn't know about the apartment.
Do I know about the streaking story? I don't remember. Who's streaking? Gio? Wasn't me.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
I guess maybe you weren't there. Like, was there a convenience store, a little bodega, something right across the street?
There were a lot of times where, you know, I started dating somebody at that particular time. So there were a lot of times where it was, I was out doing my own thing. And the other two were... Okay.
Is there a lot of ties on the door handle, or you just...
Sal was mature. He was out dating people, and you know, the other guys... I said it was a streaking story, so not as mature as Sal.
I would stay over in the city with the girls I was dating at the time, whatever. But anyway, it was fun. It was
so
nice.
Sal was the grown-up in this scenario.
I don't know about that. Gio was always the most mature, but at certain times, yes. I was just not a big partier. I didn't care to go out to drink and do any of that stuff. Like, it's just not my thing. So I think that, yeah, I was more getting wrapped up in poor relationships.
So you were getting your heart broken, right?
Borderline abusive relationships. Oh, okay. I was a sucker for those. Yeah, all right.
Okay. All
right. Right. I was getting my heart broken, and they were out having fun. If I could do it again, I think I might go hang out at the bar with them.
Listen, it's already happened at the Garden this year. Maybe you can run into an ex at a couple of Met games.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
I'm just finding out all the things I missed because I'm one of the few that didn't intern here. I didn't realize you had to intern and then move in with people that you barely knew.
It used to be the way. I don't even know.
I was unaware.
I honestly don't even know how that came up, but it worked out perfectly because, like, I wanted to get the hell out of that. Here's the thing. You know, like, what we were making behind the scenes. It took three of us.
Yeah, probably the same thing we're doing now. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Marco Belletti. That was Marco Belletti. Let's just define voices here because sometimes they don't. No, but like we had to room together. It was a small, crappy apartment, but the three of us were able to. I had the smallest room, so I paid the cheapest rent. And Gio, I think, had the biggest room kind of in the back to his own, on his own.
Yeah, the corner locker.
Wow. Gio was living on his own in Astoria, I think, before that even. I don't know when he moved in, but then he ended up moving from that place into this spot. And it was 1 year. But a crazy year, and crazy now when you think back at the history of it. Like, I mean, that was just, it was bizarre at the time.
I feel like there should be a book written on that year.
Hey, there might be. I mean...
Or at least a chapter in another book,
Gio's no? telling all the damn stories on the air. He's giving all the stories away for free on the morning show.
You can't do that. You can't give it away. That's gold.
We got to have the podcast or something.
I mean, you got big stars living in a...
2060 Astoria years.
Yeah, you got big stars living in a tiny apartment in Queens. I mean, you're telling stories hobnobbing with TC and steaks in his house next to Khalil Mack. And I need to know about what's going on in Queens in 2006.
Those are some wild days, man. I do remember on the occasion we did go out, going out to clubs and stuff and just dancing, drinking all hours of the morning, getting home. The people above us used to have, I'm pretty sure, domestic issues going on in the apartment directly above us, which was an issue. We'd take the broom and be banging it on the wall. Shut the hell up. We got to get to sleep. Oh, what a mess that was.
I'm going back to the fact that I'll be fair here. I can't see you and Gio at a club dancing. I got to be fair.
We
especially
Gio.
I can't see you guys at a club dancing. I can't see it.
No, we embarrassed ourselves. I wonder if he told the story. I don't even know if I could tell the story. Sometimes I forget that we're on the radio. I'm just going to.
It's 2 a.m. You could do a lot.
There's one. Well, we find out. This is where we test our limits on the overnight.
Well, haven't you noticed that I'm pushing for something? I'm trying to get a story out of you.
How do I say this story? There was one story. There was one time we were actually in Vegas. Me, Moose, Gio, a couple others, I think. That might have been the time where we met McMonagle and started his career, of course. And we were at a gentleman's club, okay? Is that an okay way to say it?
I believe so, yes.
And, you know, some of us had, had some dances, whatever it may be. Okay?
Okay.
We're still okay here so
far? I think we're good, yeah. Please, continue.
Gio had one of the workers there was a little rough in the nipple area with him. Okay? I don't know how this... I don't know how it happened.
Okay. Not where I thought you were going. So
are we still okay here?
You're fine.
We've already taken a left turn, so let's keep going.
Yeah, you just surprised me with where you were going. Please.
So
please,
there was... I just remember, like, we're waiting... Me, so like this is toward the end of the night here. Me, Gio, we're sitting there on the couch, just like waiting for another one of our friends to get done doing whatever he's doing, hanging out still in the club. And Gio at that point had, like I said, the whatever, you know, lap dance or whatever it was a little rough to the nipple area. And he was falling asleep on the couch. And another worker came over to him and just like, you know how some of these clubs are like, hey, how are you? You know, like, whatever. And they like massage your shoulder, whatever. But I think he was so scarred because of the rough play that he jumped up from his sleep and was like so startled that she was going for the nipple area again. And he like freaked out. And I'll never forget, I was dying laughing. She woke him up out of his sleep and he was like, no, don't touch me there. So jeez. That's a good one. I don't know if I'm allowed to tell that one on the air. But anyway, we just did. So, yeah. That was one wild one that at least we could tell. This definitely has to be in a book or a podcast where we could air all at some point. Because there's more to it.
The encounter turned into like a runner running the marathon and having chafing issues.
Exactly. I don't know what it. I don't know what happened.
I'm thinking ahead to next week in Vegas. Who here is most likely to be the Gio in that spot?
Oh man, be careful. I'll tell you off the air where it was exactly. We'll get some info from Gio. Maybe what the name was. Oh, but if you could just see his face and reaction getting out of that sleep. Oh, God, it was great.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.